are grateful for your presence with us today. We have several announcements. One, I see Joe Davis, or I saw him in the back. There he is with some raffle tickets. The scholarship committee is still doing their raffle for the gift card basket. So if you're interested in participating in that, please make sure that you see Joe. What's the cost, like five or 10? Oh, lovely. Excellent, excellent. So please see Joe if you're interested in purchasing some raffle tickets or if you'd like to still donate a gift card to that raffle. With that in mind, he mentioned the July 4th celebration. Council voted last week that at Holly Grove we can now continue to have meals together again and have food as part of our fellowship, and with that in mind, the fellowship committee is going ahead with their July 4th cookout. So July 4th after worship, all you need to bring is yourself. There will be the shelter out back available, but if you'd like to bring a canopy to cover up some shade with or some chairs, please feel free to do that, but all the food will be provided. So all you need to do is bring yourself. Ty Heitman, speaking of the shelter, is continuing to work on his Eagle Scout project. He's going to be renovating and really cleaning up the back shelter area. And so if anyone is interested in helping him cover the costs of that, please see Ty. You can give him any contribution that you might have. Next Monday, June 28th, the Lutheran Men in Mission will have a supper meal, and they're meeting at 7 o'clock, and Neil wants me to emphasize that supper will be served. This week, starting tomorrow, I will be on vacation for a week. If you have any pastoral concerns or emergencies, please reach out to Lynn Dennis. His phone number is here in the bulletin, and he will reach out to me as needed. Next Sunday, Joe Davis will be preaching and presiding at the table. I'm going to pre-consecrate enough elements this Sunday for next Sunday as well. And so Joe will be preaching and presiding next Sunday. I have a couple of other things. One, we are continuing to hold Jimmy Beck in our prayers as he is not able to receive treatment for all of the different places of cancer in his body. So ask that you would continue to pray for him and for Harold and Myra and their whole family. But Jimmy has sent a card to the church saying this: "Thank you so much for the nice golden orange afghan made by Gyla, prayed over by church people that asked for healing and comfort and less pain for me in a situation that has come on quickly. Your love, prayers, and visits mean so much to me and my family. Thank you forever, Jimmy Beck." Some time ago, we asked several of you to fill out these Hymn of the Day forms. Today is the first day that we are choosing one of these, and our Hymn of the Day today is My Faith Looks Up, chosen by Paul and Carolina Conrad. I found out this week that Isabel Heitman has a little birthday coming up, and she's having a sleepover. And instead of asking her friends to bring gifts, she has asked her friends to bring non-perishable food items so that she can put food in the blessing box for people who are hungry. I just wanted to share that with you. We have some remarkable children here at Holly Grove. Last week, we lifted up that Gracie and Gavin Ferguson sold tomato plants and raised $300 for our backpack program. And now Isabel is having a birthday. And instead of asking for presents for herself, she's asking folks to bring non-perishable foods. So we give thanks for the young people who remind us of God's love and what God calls us to do in the world. We have several birthdays this week, and I know some of you might be looking for the screen. We are having some computer troubles and technical difficulties. So today, what's not in your bulletin, please look for it in the hymnal. You'll need to look up all the hymns, but the numbers are listed, and most of the liturgy and readings should be listed in the bulletin for you. And for those of you live streaming, we know the sound is different when we live stream from a phone, but thank you for your patience as you are with us virtually today. So we have several birthdays this week: Carol Varner, Frank Hamilton, Eddie Heitman, Herb Lohr, Shane Lawrence, Raya Parsons, Waylon Heilman, and Weston Heilman. And two anniversaries: Matthew and Monica Parsons, and Clifton and Kim Payne. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And finally, we've got a couple of things up here. This blanket has been knitted for Taylor Fritz, who we will celebrate a little bit later in the service. And this prayer shawl is for Richard Craver, who is a colleague of Dean Chapman, but I think many of you know him. He has a cancer diagnosis and is going through treatment right now. So we will pray over this for him. And I also want to lift up that Teresa Fritz, who has long been on our prayer list as she had cancer and was in remission, has recently discovered that she has a tumor in her brain and that is cancerous. And she is getting ready to undergo treatment for that and asks for our prayers. We've already given her a prayer shawl, but I'd like for us to pray for her as well. Mickey, you want to put your hand on this with me? God, we give you thanks that you are always with us, that we do not weather any storm in this life without your presence and peace accompanying us. We especially lift up to you this morning Teresa and Richard, and ask that you would give them the courage and strength and endurance they need to fight this horrible disease of cancer. Bring people around them to love and support them, and help us to remember to hold them in prayer, as we know that you hear us when we pray, you hear us when we cry out to you, and when we don't know how to pray, your Spirit intercedes for us. So God, we offer to you these prayers for Richard and Teresa, and ask that you would hold them in your love and care. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Thank you. Please stand.
We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sins
to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sin. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength
Let us pray. O God of creation, eternal majesty, you preside over land and sea, sunshine and storm. By your strength pilot us, and by your power preserve us. By your wisdom instruct us, and by your hand protect us. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Job. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up your loins like a man. I will question you, and you shall declare to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the heavenly beings shouted for joy? Or who shut the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed bounds for it, and set bars and doors, and said, Thus far shall you come, and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stopped." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. for God's mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that God redeemed them from the hand of the foe, gathering them in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some went down to the sea in ships. They beheld the works of the Lord. Then God spoke, and a stormy wind arose. They mounted up to the heavens and descended to the depths.
Their souls melted away in their peril.
They staggered and reeled like drunkards.
And all their skill was of no avail.
Then in their trouble they cried to the Lord.
And you delivered them from their distress.
You stilled the storm to a whisper. Then were they glad when it grew calm.
When you guided them to the harbor, they desired.
Let them give thanks to you, Lord, for your steadfast love.
And your wonderful works for all people.
Let them exalt you in the assembly of the people.
In the council of the elders, let them sing.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet are well known, as dying and see we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken frankly to you, Corinthians, and our heart is wide open to you. There is no restriction in our affections, but only in yours. In return, I speak as to children, open wide your hearts also. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with them. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, we can have a children's message, but I notice there's only one child. Do you want to come up by yourself, or would you rather stay there? Okay, that's okay. I probably wouldn't want to come up and be the only one up here either, so. Grace, mercy, and peace to you, from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't often tell jokes, primarily because I can't ever seem to remember them, the details or the punchline. But I've got a joke for you this morning. Why did the disciples cross the Sea of Galilee? To get to the other side? Because Jesus told them to? Okay, there's no laughter. Moving on. I didn't say it was a good joke. Why did the disciples cross the Sea of Galilee? To get to the other side. And because Jesus commanded them to. Both are true. Jesus said, "Let us go across to the other side." I think often in our reading of this text, we overlook this sentence. And I think we do it at our peril, because unless we understand why Jesus wanted to go to the other side, we miss the whole point of this story. For Mark, this trip across the Sea of Galilee was about entering into a Gentile mission. Up to this point in Mark's gospel, the disciples had been engaged in Israel with the people of God, and now they are entering into a new mission, into Gentile territory, which is what the other side would have been. The other side is comprised of people who are different than the disciples. They are people who aren't yet God's people, and they aren't yet a part of that faith community. In this story, the disciples aren't just out for a leisurely boat ride. They're not just hanging out on a boat for some socialization. They were on a mission. They were going to the other side to share the good news that the kingdom of God, the reign of God, had come near. And so while they're traveling to the other side, they're venturing out on their new mission, a great windstorm arose, and before they knew it, the boat became swamped. The disciples were scared, and while we can almost feel their fear as we read this story, Jesus is very soundly asleep. None of the chaos around him had woken him up yet. Now, I don't know if this is true for you, but sometimes when I'm worried or scared or even panicked, if the person I'm sharing that with doesn't seem to be as worried or as scared or as panicked as I am, it makes me frustrated and even more panicked or worried and probably more irritated than I already was to begin with. And I can kind of hear this in the disciples when they say to Jesus, which this is probably a better translation, "Why aren't you as anxious or afraid about dying as we are?" They're trying to express their fear and their concern to Jesus, and Jesus doesn't seem to be concerned at all. In fact, he's so unconcerned, he was sleeping soundly at the helm of this boat. "Why aren't you as worried or as afraid of dying as we are?" they say to Jesus. Now, to be fair, some of the people on this boat were professional fishermen, and I imagine that if they're worried about the conditions, then maybe it is something worth being concerned about. But even more than that, even before Jesus commands and rebukes the winds and the waves to be still, we get the sense that the disciples just can't quite grasp that the reign of God is present with them. They can't quite grasp and understand who Jesus really is, and they just can't seem to understand his words and his deeds. And so in the midst of this stormy crossing, they experience fear, maybe despair, maybe even helplessness and hopelessness, to the point of accusing Jesus of indifference. They didn't think that Jesus even really cared about their circumstance or what they were going through. But instead, what's happening is that Jesus is so completely trusting of God that in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a dangerous storm, and in the midst of the chaos surrounding him, Jesus was so unbothered that he was able to sleep through it. Jesus' confidence in God's presence and in God's care allowed him to have peace in the midst of the stormy and chaotic circumstances surrounding him. And I just want to point out, the disciples' fear did not have the last word. Jesus' word of peace had the last word, and it still does. For many years, I have found church architecture to be quite fascinating. Everything means something and is symbolic. This isn't necessarily so in more modern church architecture, but in more traditional church structural design, this is true. Everything means something. So for example, the portion of the sanctuary that the congregation sits in is called the nave. N-A-V-E. The nave is Latin for ship. And if you'll look up to the ceiling with these beams, it almost looks like this is the bottom of a ship. That's very, very intentional. For centuries, the nave of churches has been designed to look like a boat. We are God's people in the boat out on the sea. All of us. We're in that boat. And we too are called to follow Jesus' command to go to the other side. And not just for a one-time trip or a few times of tripping over there. We are called always and everywhere to be going to the other side. We are called to share the good news, to be witnesses to who God is and what God is doing in the world, so that all people would come to know God's love. And not just those already in the boat with us, but those who are different from us, those who aren't a part of our faith community, those who are other than us. Hear these words of Jesus in two other Gospels. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And before his ascension, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We are called to go to the other side and share God's love with all people. We know God's love, and we're called to be witnesses to it. It doesn't have to be a long descriptive something from the Bible. What you do is you say, "Let me tell you about the difference that God's love has made in my life. Let me tell you about the God that I know and how much God loves the whole world and all people." There are so many people in the world hungering, deeply hungering and thirsting for God's love, and we are called to share it with them. Jesus calls us to go to the other side, but sadly, for far too long, the church has often looked like a peaceful clubhouse on the shore rather than a boat following Jesus' command to go, to take the fearful risk to cross to the other side. Former ELCA Bishop Lyle Miller says this, The church is not a luxury liner granting passage to all who qualify and clamber aboard, but rather a rescuing lifeboat, sometimes even leaking, but always with Jesus at the helm. I don't want us to be more willing to stay safe and tied up on the shore than to follow Jesus' call to go to the other side. Listen to this story. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was one little crude life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves, they went out day and night, tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so much so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved, and various others in the surrounding area, wanted to become associated with the station and to give their life and money and effort for the support of this work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained, and the little life-saving station grew. But some of the members of the life-saving station were unhappy that the building was so crude and poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. So they replaced the emergency cots with beds and put better furniture in the enlarged building. But now the life-saving station became a popular gathering place for its members. They decorated it beautifully and furnished it exquisitely because they began to use it as some sort of club. Fewer members were now interested in going out to sea on life-saving missions, so they hired lifeboat crews to do this work. The life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decoration, and there was a liturgical lifeboat in the room where the club initiations were held. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, and half-drowned people. They were dirty and sick, and some of them had black skin, and some of them had yellow skin, and the new beautiful club became considerably messed up. So the property committee immediately had a shower built outside the club, where the victims of the shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside. At the next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities because they were unpleasant and they became a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. Some members insisted upon life-saving as their primary purpose and pointed out that they were still a life-saving station. But they were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, that they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And they did. As the years went by, the new station experienced the same changes that had occurred in the old. It evolved into a club. And yet another life-saving station was founded. History continued to repeat itself. And if you visit that coast today, you will find a number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are still frequent in those waters, but most of the people are not rescued. This is sadly the reality for so many churches in the world today. The church used to be active, life-saving stations. But the less time that people spent out in the stormy waters, the more often they stayed safe tied up at the shore, the more the stations become gathering places. The more folks who needed the shelter were not welcomed. The more folks who didn't look like them, they weren't welcomed either. Caring for others and sharing God's love with them has sadly not become the primary priority for many churches today. This is not what God desires for the church, for God's people, and for the world. Jesus commands us to go make disciples of all people, no exceptions. And going to the other side is not an option. Now for us, we don't have to cross a sea. We just have to go to the other side of these walls, because God's mission is all around us and all throughout the world. Everywhere we go, there are people hungering for God's love and God's grace. Yes, when we venture out into these stormy crossings to the other side, we won't be as safe as if we were to be tied up on the shore. We can't control the wind and the waves and the conditions around us. But God is with us in the boat. And God's presence brings peace and comfort even in the midst of the storms. And our fears do not have the last word. In God's presence, we have peace even in the stormiest of crossings. Brothers and sisters, with Jesus in the boat with us, may we never let fear keep us tied safe to the shore, but always be willing to go with Jesus to the other side, following his command and call to make disciples of all nations, that all people and all of creation may know God's love. Amen.
Trust and hope. Let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. Holy God, you gather your people from east and west, north and south. We pray for the mission of the church throughout the world, that your steadfast love may be made known to all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the waters are the womb of creation. The morning stars sing your name, and all creation shouts for joy. We pray for your blessed creation, that it may continue to flourish and magnify your glory. Lord, in your mercy, you keep watch over all nations. We pray for countries experiencing violence, hunger, and unrest. Guide worldwide and local community organizations in their efforts to establish safety and justice. Lord, in your mercy, you are close to the brokenhearted and near to those in distress. We pray for those who are experiencing oppression. You befriend those who are sick, suffering, poor, lonely, outcast, rejected, or sick. Grant healing and love to all in need, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Bill, Scott, the Heitman family, and Jimmy, as well as our family and friends listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, you dwell with us in this faith community. We pray for our church council. Grant them knowledge, patience, and kindness, that through their leadership you may be exalted in this assembly. Lord, in your mercy, your love endures in all situations. On this Father's Day, we pray for those who are fathers or wish to be fathers, for those with broken or strained relationships, for those who are missing their fathers, and for fathers who have lost children. Bless and strengthen them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you. Peace. Peace. You may be seated. As we acknowledge that there are as many experiences of Fathers and Father's Day as there are people, let us pray. O God and Father of us all, we draw on the image of you as one who loves and cares for us beyond all we could ever ask for or imagine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for fathers, uncles, grandfathers, teachers, and friends. We give you thanks for fathers who co-labored us into being, for fathers who adopted us as their own, for fathers by choice, who by their embodied action have loved all with who have come into their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who know the pain of longing, for those who desire to be called Father, but have never known that name, for those who have loved their children from afar, for those who long for the homecoming of a child who has chosen a pathway of pain, for those who are broken over the absence of a father who was or is unable to love them as they are. We pray for those who yearn for the day when they will see their father again, whether they are separated now by death or a broken relationship. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who have lost, for those who have lost children and ache with grief, whether before they were able to breathe outside the womb, or whether their child left this earth too soon, or whether the loss is fraught with the ache of absence in the midst of their still being here on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for our first father, Adam, for Joseph, who was the father of Jesus in the world, for the men of our faith, for Abraham and Isaac, for Jacob and Esau, for Joseph and Moses, for Joshua, for men of prophetic truth like Nathan, for men of great love like Samson, for men of great trust like Josiah, for Saul and men whose eyes have been opened, for Peter, who laid down his sword, for men who changed their minds, who gave their lives, and who laid everything on the line for a kingdom not of this world, but of heaven, for the men named and unnamed in Scripture, in our lives, and in our collective story, we give you thanks, O God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for fathers throughout history and all around the world who labor with them for conditions of peace and the possibility of human flourishing. We pray for fathers whose children will never return from war. We pray for those who seek to father us well, even though they live with the legacy of trauma in their own lives. We pray for fathers who face death to secure their children's safe passage. We pray for the enslaved, the immigrant, the widower, and the refugee. For fathers who give their lives trying to make the world better for future generations. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And to you, O God and Father of us all, to you, the one who fashioned all humanity in your image, to you, the God who brought us into being through your love and who abides in us as we abide in you, to you, the one who teaches us to walk and feeds us and leads us in kindness, to you, the God to whom we can cry Abba without fear, but trusting that you hear us. You have adopted us as your own, and you call us your children. To you, O God, who reminds us of your care for us through your care for all creation. To you, the God who has looked for us as the Father looking for his Son who was lost, longing for his and our homecoming. To you, the Father of orphans and the protector of widows. To you who rejoices when we come home again and remember the love and blessing that have always been ours. To you, O God, Father of us all, to you we run, to you we offer our hearts and our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. At this time, I invite you to bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. stand. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to invite Taylor and her parents to come forward. The rest of you may be seated. Taylor Fritz is the daughter of Robert and Mandy Fritz and the granddaughter of Carrie and Bobby Fritz. She is a graduate of Central Davidson and plans to attend East Carolina University to study nursing. We also want to recognize Justin Hedrick, son of Caroline and Chad Hedrick, and grandson of Joe and Bonnie Hedrick. He's also a graduate of Central Davidson. He's a confirmed member at Beck's Reformed, and his graduation was recognized there. Okay, Mom and Dad, come on up here. Taylor, there was a day when your parents held you in their arms and wrapped you in a blanket to keep you safe and warm and comforted. Very soon, you will be launching into a new life, away from the safety and security of this home, family, church, and community. As you go out into the world, may this blanket be a reminder of your parents' love and of the nurture of this Christian community. I invite you to turn around and face your parents. And Mom and Dad, if you will, drape this blanket over Taylor's shoulders. And placing hands on her shoulders, repeat after me. We come this day before God to bless you and thank God for your life. You have given my life a deeper meaning and calling. Through you, I have experienced God's love, joy, and forgiveness. Wherever you go, whatever you do, my love goes with you. You will always be a part of my heart. May this blanket remind you of the warmth of my love, the care of this faith community, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And on those nights when we cannot be together, wrap yourself in this blanket and know that in God's family, you are never alone. And Taylor, if you'll repeat after me to your parents, you have given of your heart and of your home. You have loved and cared for me, even when it was difficult. Today I honor and thank you for your courage, patience, wisdom, and love. Wherever I go and whatever I do, I will always be your child, blessed by your love. I thank God for blessing my life with you. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Wherever you wander, no matter how dark the night, may the warmth of this blanket, the love of your parents, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the prayers of this church, the power of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Go with God's blessings. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. May the peace of Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. And may he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Taylor and her family will stand with me outside these doors so you can greet her and congratulate them.
Let's use our mission statement. As united people of
God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Share the good news.